Okay, thank you all for coming out for our meeting. We are here for a public information session for the New Hampshire Site Evaluation Committee in docket number 2015-06, which is the joint application of Northern Pass Transmission LLC and Public Service Company of New Hampshire for a certificate of site and facility for the transmission project that is commonly referred to as the Northern Pass. My name is Michael Iacopino. I am a lawyer from Manchester, New Hampshire. I represent the Site Evaluation Committee and have been appointed by Martin Honigberg to chair the meeting tonight. Our meeting is a public information session. It is an opportunity for the public to obtain information about the project and also about the Site Evaluation Committee. We go through a process here in order to help you do that. On our agenda, I will make a short presentation regarding the Site Evaluation Committee, its makeup, how it operates, and what its criteria are. I will then turn the floor over to Mr. Quinlan from the applicants, and he will make a presentation about the project itself. At that point, we will then take questions from you, the audience, and those questions can be directed either to me if you have questions about how the Site Evaluation Committee operates, or they can be directed to the applicant, and the applicant has a number of subject matter experts here today so that they can answer questions. If you have a question about a certain area of the project, they probably will have somebody here who can answer it. Once we have asked questions, we then open the floor to public statements. What I'd like everybody to note is that we have a number of different forms. They're different colors, okay? If you have a question, you should write your question on the green form. Please make sure that your questions are actually questions, okay? Long statements just sort of drag the meeting out. We try to get through all the questions because since this is a public information session, we want as much information provided to you, the public, as possible. We also have a blue form. If you don't feel like making an oral statement at the end of the night when we do the public statements, you can write your statement out on the blue form, and it will be included in the record, and it will be reviewed by the Site Evaluation Committee. So if you have a question, it's a green form. If you'd like to make a written public statement, it's the blue form, and we take written public statements all the way through our proceedings, right up until their final vote. And then finally, if you do wish to speak and make a public statement here tonight, you fill out one of these yellow slips, and we're going to do them in the order in which they've come in, I believe. I haven't had any request for anybody to that has to leave or anything like that. Sometimes we have that, but for the most part, we keep track of the time that they've come in, and we will have the people speak who wish to speak in the order in which we received their card. So that's the process that we are going to use tonight. The best way to find out what's going on at the Site Evaluation Committee with respect to Northern Pass or any other application that has been filed with the committee is to go to our website at www.nhsec.nh.gov. And all of our dockets, that's the fancy word us lawyers use for all the cases that we have, are on the website. And you can look at all of the pleadings, letters, motions, the applications that have been filed. They're all available there. We try to get the material up there as quick as we can. This case, as you all know, has generated lots of interest and publicity, and we're receiving things on a daily basis. We try to get those comments up. We try to get motions to intervene up and any other pleadings that come in as quickly as we can. If you need to contact the Site Evaluation Committee, the best person to contact is to my left, Pamela Monroe. She is the administrator of the Site Evaluation Committee. Her email is up on the screen there, pamela.monroe@sec.nh.gov. And her telephone number is 271-2435. With that, I think that we'll start. Is there a problem, sir?
Would it be possible for the applicants to identify their name and their area of expertise?
I think we can do that. I just want everybody to, one thing I forgot to tell everybody is we have two court reporters here, so it's very important that if you're speaking, making a public statement, that you come to the microphone so that they can understand what you're saying and get it down in the record. There will be a transcript of everything that anybody says here today made, and that will be part of our record. That will eventually be up on the website as well. In addition, and it hasn't been that bad, but if you yell out something out of turn, out of the audience, it's not going to be recorded in the record. You're not doing yourself any good. And I would ask you to be courteous to the folks that are making statements and the people who are making presentations. Because whatever you yell out is not going to make it into the record and won't be considered by the committee in any event. So if you want to be effective, the best way to do that is either to give us your question to be asked and get the answer, or to make the statement that you wish to make using our procedure. Before I start, Bill, do you mind just telling us who's here from the company before I start with them?
Sure. I'm Bill Quinlan. I'm the president of Eversource New Hampshire. Why don't we just go down the line?
Ken Bowes, vice president of engineering for Eversource Energy.
Lee Carboneau with Normando Associates, the natural resources expert.
Sherilyn Waddell with Waddell Preservation Services. I'm the historic resources expert.
Sam Johnson, Burns McDonald Engineering, design and project management.
Mark Hodgson, a private attorney in Concord. I've been working with Northern Pass on highway permitting issues.
Christopher Soderman, Eversource Energy Engineering.
Bob Clark, I'm responsible for siting for this project.
Tim Muntz, President, Transmission for Eversource.
Jessica Kimball, Terrence Dewan and Associates, Visual Impact.
Terry Dewan and Associates. My name is Terry Dewan.
Lisa Shapiro, Gallagher, Callahan, and Gartrell, Property Tax Payments.
Beth Maldonado, Assistant General Counsel.
Bob Varney, Normando Associates, Air Quality and Climate Change, Land Use and Orderly Development.
Thank you. Okay.
Thank you.
I've already explained to you how to get to our website, how to contact the committee. I'm going to start with what's the purpose of the Site Evaluation Committee. The purpose of the Site Evaluation Committee is set forth in RSA 162H, which is a state law. The purpose is to balance the benefits and impacts of the siting, construction, and operation of energy facilities, which includes transmission lines, and to balance those benefits and impacts on the welfare of the population, private property, location and growth of industry, the economic growth of the state, the environment of the state, historic sites, aesthetics, air and water quality, the natural environment, public health and safety. That's the overall purpose, one of the overall purposes of our statute that enables the Site Evaluation Committee to make the determinations that they make. The second purpose is to avoid undue delay in the construction of facilities, and as you'll see in a moment, there are time frames contained in RSA 162H that the committee must follow. The third purpose is to make sure that there is a full and timely consideration of the environmental consequences of the siting and construction of energy facilities or transmission lines. The fourth purpose is to provide full and complete disclosure, both to the state and to the public, about the siting and construction of energy facilities and transmission lines. And finally, to ensure that the construction, siting and operation of energy facilities are treated by the Site Evaluation Committee as a significant aspect of land use planning in which the environmental, economic, and technical issues are all resolved in one consolidated proceeding. And that is what this meeting and the meetings that we will have after today are all part of that integrated process. In essence, the Site Evaluation Committee is a statewide planning board for the siting, construction, and operation of energy facilities. It's designed to integrate all the various permits that go into building siting and building these types of facilities. The authority of the Site Evaluation Committee does preempt local authority. In other words, it preempts the authority of your local planning boards or zoning boards to consider and either grant a permit or not grant a permit. And it's based upon sort of the one-stop shopping theory or supermarket theory, where it makes it so that a developer can go to one place and have everything integrated, and the legislature has determined that that's good for developers, but that it's also good for the public, so that things aren't being considered in a vacuum or in a silo. The Site Evaluation Committee consists of certain statutory members. The chairman of the Site Evaluation Committee by statute is the chairman of the Public Utilities Commission. That's relatively new with the last change in the statute. Our current chair is Martin Honigberg. The vice chairman of the Site Evaluation Committee is the Commissioner of Environmental Services. That's Thomas Burak. Also sitting on the Site Evaluation Committee are the remaining two Public Utilities Commissioners. Right now, that's Catherine Bailey and Robert Scott. The Commissioner of the Department of Transportation sits on the committee. That's Victoria Sheehan. Our Dred Commissioner, Department of Resources and Economic Development, sits on the committee. That's Jeffrey Rose. And also, we have either the Cultural Resources Commissioner or the Director of the Historical Resources Division of the Cultural Resources Department sits on our committee. And usually, it's the Director of the Historic Resources. That person is Elizabeth Muzzy. The Commissioner of Cultural Resources is Van McLeod. We are supposed to have two public members that are appointed by the governor and approved by the Executive Council. Right now, we only have one public member. We lost a public member a few weeks ago. Roger Hawk passed away. And there's also a statutory alternate public member who is also appointed by the Site Evaluation by the governor and approved by the Executive Council. And in this case, it's Rachel Whitaker. Mr. Mullen, I can't take questions while I'm speaking.
I was just going to say, I'll volunteer for that position.
Speak to the governor. Each of the state agency members of the Site Evaluation Committee have the authority to designate somebody from their agency to sit in their place. And on the Northern Pass subcommittee, we have had that occur. Chairman Honigberg will sit, and he will preside over this process. Commissioner Burak has appointed Craig Wright to sit on this subcommittee. Mr. Wright is the director of the Air Resources Division at DES. Commissioner Bailey will sit. Commissioner Rose from Dred has appointed his Division of Economic Development Director Christopher Way to sit. And again, that is a position that's also Mr. Wright's position and Mr. Way's position are also governor appointed and approved by Executive Council. William Oldenburg from the Department of Transportation, he is the Assistant Director of Project Development, has been designated to sit by Commissioner Sheehan. And then our public members will be Patricia Weathersby and Rachel Whitaker. So that's a subcommittee that will read everything that goes on here tonight in the transcripts, review the application, listen to the evidence as we get deeper into this process, and ultimately, these are the folks that will make the decision as to whether or not to grant the certificate that is sought by the applicant. In every case before the Site Evaluation Committee where there is an application to construct or site and construct either a energy facility or a transmission line, the Attorney General appoints counsel for the public. The role of counsel for the public is to represent the public in general in seeking to protect the quality of the environment and in seeking to assure that the state has an adequate supply of energy. Counsel for the public has all the rights and obligations of any party in a formal action. If you think of like a courtroom proceeding, it's the same thing. He can make objections, he can put on witnesses, he can cross-examine witnesses. Has all of those rights. In this case, the Attorney General has appointed Senior Assistant Attorney General Peter Roth to serve as counsel for the public. He is very experienced, and he is here, and I'm going to give him the opportunity to introduce himself to you and to tell you a little bit about what he does and how he does it.
Thank you. Good evening, everybody. I'm Peter Roth. I'm the counsel for the public. I'm a senior assistant attorney general with the New Hampshire Department of Justice. I was appointed in this case by Attorney General Joe Foster. I have been appointed by Attorney General Foster and other attorneys general before him in a number of energy cases since 2006. I've been practicing law since 1990 in a variety of different contexts, but I've been with the state of New Hampshire since 1999. I represent the broader interests of the public in this case. I don't represent any particular member of the public or any particular organization specifically. So I can't provide legal advice or counsel to people who are in this room or elsewhere. Nevertheless, I am very eager and interested to hear from people about what they think about the project and the issues that they have with it and any concerns they have about specific aspects of it. I have the authority under the statute to retain experts to study the project and to present expert testimony in the case. And those experts are actually, the statute provides that the fees of those experts are approved by the committee and paid for by the applicant. So I generally do hire experts in these cases, and I am in the process now of reviewing and retaining experts to provide expert testimony on a number of different issues in this case, probably issues that many of you care about very much. My email address will show up on and phone number will show up on another slide unless you've taken it off.
No, I forgot to click the button. There it is. Sorry.
There we go. That telephone number is my direct dial to my desk, and that's my actual email address. And I do read my email, and I do answer the phone and take and listen to people's voice messages. So if you want to get in touch with me, please do. In addition, if there's a group of you that would, or any one of you that would like to meet, you can come to Concord and meet me. Or if there's a group of you, I can come up and sit with you and talk about what my role is and our approach to the case. In this case, I have also done something somewhat unusual in that I've never done it before, is we've hired a law firm to assist with the litigation of the matter. This is a very large case and somewhat unprecedented in New Hampshire, and so I've hired, with the authority of the commission of the committee, the Primer Law Firm, which is headquartered in Burlington, Vermont, but which has offices in Manchester and Littleton. And tonight with me is Eli Emerson from the Primer Firm, who is an expert on utilities law in Vermont. And he's out of the Littleton office but lives in St. Johnsbury, but we won't hold that against him. So again, if anybody has any questions or anything they want to say to me, I'll be around here this evening. I'll be at the next round of meetings, or you can contact me at the telephone number or the email address. Thank you.
And when Peter mentions the next round of meetings, the next round of meetings are what we call joint public hearings. At those meetings, I will not be in charge of the meeting. It will be Chairman Honigberg, and a quorum of the subcommittee will be required to be at each one of those public hearings. Hopefully sometime next week we'll have the schedule. We're trying to firm up dates and places, and I'll get into when that has to occur in a couple of slides. Next thing I want to talk to you about is applications before the Site Evaluation Committee. We're going to talk about what's in an application, what has to be in an application, but first I just want to address some of the things that go on before an application is filed. And some of these things are done by the applicant, and obviously some of them are done under the statute. But before an application is filed, anybody who wants to generate electricity or generate power or have a linear project like a transmission line has to obviously sync up with ISO New England, which is the independent system operator that operates the electricity grid in New England. There are obviously, if you want to sell your power, you got to do that. In addition, there are environmental and resource studies that are done in all of these cases. They're generally done well in advance of filing an application with the committee. It is not unusual for the applicants to have pre-permitting meetings with the various state agencies to find out what rules are going to apply and how they're going to be interpreted. SMART applicants will meet with municipalities and regional planning commissions to talk about the benefits and impacts of their proposed project on the development of the region and local and your local neighborhoods. In addition, if you were building, say, a wood-burning facility, you might want to make sure that you have a deal with somebody who's going to transmit that power for you. You might want to make sure that you have a power purchase agreement. You're going to want to make sure you have the sufficient financing. And then there's all sorts of issues around eligibility for various tax treatments. And finally, the statute requires that before a applicant can actually file an application with the Site Evaluation Committee, they must hold a public information session very much like this one, except the Site Evaluation Committee is not present at it, in each county where the proposed project will be located. And in this particular case, that was done. And those transcripts are also part of the record that is contained on our website and part of the record of the Site Evaluation Committee. Once they get around to filing an application, that application has to contain certain information. First, it must contain sufficient information to satisfy the individual application requirements of each state agency that has permitting or other regulatory authority. So that means that if your project is going to impact wetlands, you have to make sure that you have a wetlands application contained in your application with the Site Evaluation Committee. You have to make sure that you've satisfied all of the requirements of the Wetlands Bureau of the Department of Environmental Services in that application. And in addition, to having the individual requirements for each state agency, an application must at a minimum contain all of these types of information. Must describe in reasonable detail the type and size of each major part of the proposed project. It must identify the preferred choice and any other choices, alternatives for the siting of each major part of the facility. It must describe the impact of each major part of the facility on the environment. It must describe any proposals that the applicant has for dealing with environmental problems and solving them. It must describe the applicant's financial, technical, and managerial capability to site, construct, and operate the project. It must document that there's been written notification given to each municipality in which the project is going to be located. It must describe the elements of and any financial assurances for a decommissioning plan. And it must provide additional information as required by the Site Evaluation Committee. And the Site Evaluation Committee has issued new rules as of December of last year, where there are a lot more requirements for individual applications than there had been in the past. All applications that are filed before our new rules came into effect will be subject to the new rules. However, we have to give the applicant ample time to amend their application in order to comply with those new rules. There are a lot of new requirements that are contained in the rules. And in this particular case, we're expecting, based upon a letter from the applicant from Northern Pass, that will be done by March 15th. The Site Evaluation Committee, as I said, has a number of time frames that they're required to abide by statute. Once, before there's an application filed, as I indicated before, the applicant has to have pre-filing information sessions. They have to occur at least 30 days before the application is filed. Once an application is filed, what happens is the chairman of the committee is required to expeditiously, that's a word right out of the statute, expeditiously make sure that the application is sent to each state agency that has permitting or other regulatory authority, and the committee must review the application expeditiously. In fact, the statute says that the committee must hear from each state agency and also review the application within 60 days of the filing and give a decision as to whether or not the application is complete. Now, what that means is that from the site evaluation committee standpoint that the application contains sufficient information for the process to move forward. Because the site evaluation committee accepted this application as complete, and they did that on December 18th, that does not mean that the site evaluation committee has granted the application. All it means is that there was sufficient information contained in the application to proceed. And in addition, we received correspondence from each state agency that had permitting authority that the application satisfied their requirements as well. That December 18th date is a very important date because that's the date that every other deadline in our process runs from. There's already been a subcommittee designated in this particular case. I've gone over that with you. Within 45 days after the acceptance of the application, the site evaluation committee and the applicant must have a public information session, like we're doing tonight, in each county in which the facility is proposed to be located. Tonight is the last one of what we call the 45-day sessions. We have been in every county, and tonight is the last one. Within 90 days of December 18th, the committee has to have what we call joint public hearing in each county. And that's different than tonight. In those proceedings, the committee members will actually be here. And then we'll go through a process somewhat similar to what we do tonight, but they will actually be here, as well as any of the state agencies that want to send representatives that have a hearing requirement. Under our calendar for this case, we must complete those joint public hearings by St. Patrick's Day. And I think that at some point next week, we will have a final schedule that will be published on our website telling you when those meetings will occur. The next important date is 150 days after acceptance of the application. State agencies must provide the site evaluation committee with any draft conditions for permitting that they have or any draft reports that they're expecting to submit to the committee. And then they have a final deadline, which is 240 days after the acceptance of the application. So in this case, the preliminary reports will be due May 16th. Final reports from state agencies are going to be due August 15th. And it is between August 15th and December 19th, 2016, that the site evaluation committee will have what we call an adjudicative proceeding. And that is very much, like I said before, like a trial. We'll actually have witnesses that will be cross-examined. There will be evidence submitted. There will be objections, emotions, things like you see on TV when you watch Law and Order and things like that, but very much like a trial in a court. Once all of the evidence is in the record from that adjudicative proceeding, the site evaluation committee will deliberate, just like a jury does. However, the difference is the site evaluation committee is required to deliberate in public, and everything that they say during the course of those deliberations will be recorded by a court reporter, very similar to what we have here tonight. So that there will be a complete record. The vote that is taken by the site evaluation committee on whether or not to grant or deny the certificate that is sought will be taken on the record in public and it will be recorded. And then there will be a written order, and that written order has to issue within 365 days of the date of acceptance. So, again, the process under the statute has to be complete by December 19th, 2016. Those are our time frames. For anybody who wishes to participate in these proceedings, you should make note of those because you'll know when to look for information that may be coming through the pipeline and to see, for instance, what the state agencies are saying, what's needed, what they agree with, what they don't agree with. There are many ways for you as members of the public to participate in our process. One you've already heard about from Counsel for the Public. That's not his direct dial number there. That's the main number for the Attorney General's office. Either number will get you to him. So you should feel free to contact counsel for the public. Let him know what you think or if you have concerns. In addition, there were the pre-filing public information sessions that were held by the applicant, required by the law. There was opportunities for public statements at those proceedings. There are these proceedings that you're all at here tonight participating in. There will be the post-filing joint public hearings that you just discussed, one in each county where the subcommittee will actually be present. And there will be public participation in those meetings as well. In addition, the Site Evaluation Committee is required by law to accept written comment from members of the public through the pendency of its proceedings. So right up until the time that they close the record and start deliberating, they will accept written public comment. And you can send that written public comment through Pamela Monroe, and there will be I'll have her email up there again. And by the way, we do prefer email for your public comments. It is much easier for us to distribute those comments to the members of the committee when we have them electronically. The committee is required by law to consider and weigh the information received in public written comment and to consider any reports that are presented by the public. And finally, the last way that I'm going to discuss of public participation is to actually file a motion to intervene as a party in the proceedings. In order to do that, it's a little bit more strict. You have to demonstrate that you have a right, a duty, a substantial interest in the outcome of the proceeding, and that if you participate, your participation will not interfere with the orderly and prompt disposition of the case. So that if you can demonstrate those two factors to the Site Evaluation Committee, you should be permitted to intervene. If you are permitted to intervene, you have all the rights and responsibilities of a party to a proceeding. Just like we discussed before about what counsel for the public's role is, you would have the right, if you were allowed to intervene, to call witnesses, to cross-examine witnesses, to present evidence, to participate in the adjudicative or trial-type proceedings that we have. The deadline in this case for filing motions to intervene is February 5th, 2016. So if anybody is interested and believes that they satisfy these requirements and wish to participate as an intervener, they have to file that motion by February 5. And finally, I'm sure that everybody here is wondering, well, what exactly is the Site Evaluation Committee supposed to consider? How are they supposed to make this very important determination? Well, that's laid out for us in RSA 162H as well. First, the committee is required to give due consideration to all relevant information regarding the potential siting or routing of the proposed facility. The Site Evaluation Committee is required to give due consideration to all significant impacts and benefits of the project. And the Site Evaluation Committee is required to consider whether the issuance of a certificate, in other words, a permit, will serve the objectives or the purposes of RSA 162H. And those purposes are the purposes that I went through in the very first slide. In addition, in order to grant a certificate, in order to allow a project to go forward, the Site Evaluation Committee must find, by a preponderance of the evidence, that the applicant has adequate financial, technical, and managerial experience to site, construct, and operate the facility as proposed in the application in compliance with any terms or conditions that the Site Evaluation Committee may impose. Secondly, in order to grant a certificate, the Site Evaluation Committee must find, by a preponderance of the evidence, that granting the certificate will not unduly interfere with the orderly development of the region, with due consideration having been given to the views of municipal and regional planning commissions and municipal governing bodies. This is the area where your local laws and the opinions of your local conservation commissions, boards of selectmen, planning boards come in. Those things must be considered by the Site Evaluation Committee. Third, in order to grant a certificate, the Site Evaluation Committee must find, by a preponderance of the evidence, that the project will not have an unreasonable adverse effect on aesthetics, historic sites, air and water quality, the natural environment, or public health and safety. And finally, in order to grant a certificate, the committee must be satisfied by a preponderance of the evidence that the issuance of a certificate will serve the public interest. Those are the criteria that the Site Evaluation Committee is required to apply by statute. And the way that they do that is they consider all of the evidence that is presented in every form through this entire process, from the beginning, at the pre-filing public information sessions, all the way through the sessions that we're at tonight, the public hearings that we'll have next month, probably in early March, the adjudicative phase. They consider all of that evidence and then deliberate on it as a body in public and determine whether or not they can find that the applicant has satisfied each of these criteria by a preponderance of the evidence. Again, most of the information that you want to find out about the Site Evaluation Committee can be found on our website. If you wish to submit written public comment at some time other than tonight or at one of the hearings, you should do so through Pamela Monroe. Her email is up there. She's our administrator. Likewise, if you're going to file a motion to intervene, those motions should be directed to Ms. Monroe at her email address. And her phone number, 271-2435, is up there as well if you need to ask any questions about how to do or how to get yourself involved. With that, that's the end of our presentation about the committee. What I'm going to do is turn the floor over to Mr. Quinlan from the applicant, and he is going to make a presentation about the project itself.